This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05, and if you're having an unwanted sense of deja vu while reading the news today, perhaps it might be something to do with the situation in Pasir Gudang. So the town is again facing air pollution that's caused again breathing difficulties among residents, particularly children, and residents there are clearly and justifiably upset and confounded that this is again happening to them.
So we saw a similar situation about 3 months ago when Sungai Kim Kim became the site of severe toxic pollution that affected more than 6,000 residents. It was reported yesterday that Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin said the current situation is linked to the incident back in March, but she has since clarified that it is not connected.
So this time round, state authorities are checking 30 factories in the area from a total of 265. They believe that some of these factories could be responsible for emitting toxic fumes. Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said that this situation was never supposed to happen again and that strict action will be taken once the culprits are identified.
Johor Menteri Besar Dr. Sarudin Jamal said the cause of the air pollution will be known in 2 days. Muhammad Kuzan Abu Bakar, chairman of the Johor Health, Culture and Heritage Committee, said that the state government is proactive in tackling the pollution issue in the state, and he dismissed any claims by certain parties that government agencies were slow to react.
So there has been some criticism of the government here, with the fact that it's taking a little while in terms of clarifying what's actually going on. So we are going to be taking a look at that, right? A little bit about how to respond in a situation where there is a crisis. There is a sense of helplessness and a sense of what is happening. So how much should the government be communicating in order to kind of try and allay those fears? But also on a very basic level, it saddens me that this is happening again. I mean, when you read the descriptions of what's happening on the ground, the way Pasir Gudang Stadium has had to be commandeered to become an emergency medical, you know, location for people to be able to go and get help, that they need that space, you know, because that's the amount of people affected. It's terrible. I mean, it's bad enough that it happened 3 months ago, but that it's happening again and so soon, I feel, is actually really frightening.
And the fact that it's coming up and affecting children most often is where the problem is, I think. Well, of course, it's you know, the fact that they have to skip school, that some of them are now in the are being hospitalized, some of them are facing situations where 3 months ago, it's likely, again, why are we going through this once more? Didn't the cleanup happen? Didn't we see enough responses back in the past? And it's also to say something about the communication between government agencies, you know, for the Housing and Local Government Minister to come out and say, well, this case is definitely affected to what happened in the past, does say something to whether they are, rather they have grips on their crisis communication skills.
Yeah, and also it's a matter of coordination, right? Because on the one hand, obviously everybody wants an answer. Everybody wants to know, what is this? What are you doing? Is it going to stop? Everyone wants to have that communicated. But if you make a statement and then have to retract it, I think in a situation where people are already feeling a little bit uncertain, a little bit threatened, that sometimes retracting a statement after making it is not the most comforting way to go about things. So we're going to, like we said, be talking about this issue of crisis management and crisis communication in a little bit. But in the meantime, to get a feel for what's happening on the ground, we're crossing over to Syed Al-Hudzari, the General Manager for Program Operations at Mercy Malaysia. Syed, thanks for joining us. So there are reports in Pasir Gudang of a strong smell permeating the air that's causing nausea and vomiting. Is that what you're witnessing as well?
So basically it's almost the same, you know, compared to before. You know, the smell is there, so I think that's what really triggers, you know, people to be more aware of the situation and they start to panic. But in a way, I mean, once, you know, the right kind of information are being shared, you know, on what to do, on to stay indoors or to wear masks, those kind of things gone out, I mean, they would eventually, you know, can control themselves. So, yeah, the situation is the same, whereby, you know, the smell, I mean, is the same smell that we had experienced before, but it's just the way things are being handled. I mean, I noticed that this time around, I mean, almost every day there's a press release being issued by the state government and also federal government just to share, I mean, the right kind of information to the public. But then situation-wise, it's almost the same like before. So this time around, I mean, started on the June 20th. We were on site on the 23rd to assess, you know, to get more information and then meet up with the local stakeholder and then find out, you know, what is going on and then what are the type of assistance they would require from us, Mercy Malaysia.
What information were you able to gather about what's happening this time around?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we are concerned, when we are there, we are to basically address the issue being faced by the beneficiaries. So, of course, I mean, when we arrive on site, we noticed this time around, they already set up the emergency operation center at the closed stadium in Pasir Gudang. You know, the green zone, yellow zone, and then the red zone, whereby green zone for the screening, yellow zone, you know, for those who need to be referred, and red zone, I mean, those who need to be referred further. So this time, the amount of aid workers on site or the government staff on site, I mean, were enough to cater the issues. So we were concerned on, you know, on the direct response of those who have been affected rather than, I mean, what has been affected them. Because, I mean, as far as we are concerned at this point of time, I mean, even if we have that kind of information, I mean, not much we can do with it. Rather for us to address, you know, those who have been affected by the, you know, the pollution or whatever the cause, to find out what is really wrong with them and also to provide an immediate treatment to them. So that was our priority, and then that was what we did. It's the same as, you know, the other agencies who are responding. Of course, I mean, the task is also being divided into two. I mean, those who are, you know, responding to the beneficiaries, but they are another team who's doing the investigation. So while we wait, you know, for further information on the investigation, which we are not really involved in, so we just continue with the immediate response to the beneficiaries.
It's been about 2 days since you were on site, from what I understand. What's the frequency been like when it comes to residents seeking medical attention?
So what happened was, yesterday we received like an influx of patients. I think, I cannot remember the number, but I mean, it's hundreds over. But after that, the number just dropped because the school has been already been closed. So they managed to contain the situation by doing that. I think the number is not that high as of today, whereby the operation center is not operational anymore. I mean, all the patients are going directly to the normal health centers because the number of cases are lesser. So by doing that, I think they managed to reduce the number of cases, and also, you know, they can manage the situation rather well compared to, you know, before, whereby, I mean, there was some delay in announcing or the closing of the school and many other reasons, which led to, you know, more cases being seen like almost every day. But this time around, I mean, it's totally different.
What's your sense of how the residents are responding to this second bout of air pollution in Pasir Gudang?
I believe they are getting, you know, the right kind of information on site. So that really reduces the panic, you know, among people. As long as they have like good information, you know, proper information on what to do or what not to do. Because you won't be able to tell whether, I mean, these people are really being affected by the, you know, pollution, or, I mean, they are just having like a mental reaction. So you can only know that, I mean, after them getting a professional consultant from a medical doctor. So in a way, the local government, state government, and also, you know, the federal government managed to, you know, to manage the situation. I mean, disseminate the right kind of information to the public and also to the schools on what to do in order for them to control the situation.
Syed, thank you so much for those updates. That was Syed Al-Hudzari, the General Manager for Program Operations at Mercy Malaysia. Syed's currently on the ground in Pasir Gudang providing immediate response aid and just, yeah, giving us an idea of what things are actually like. Up next, we're going to be exploring the issue of crisis management, the way information is being spread, the way information is being communicated at the moment with Evelyn Yap, who is a Crisis Communication Lead Counsel for Citron One. And that will be coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Balming frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
Good evening. It is 6:16. You're listening to Lynn and Kelvin. And we've been speaking about Pasigudang, basically, the updates emerging from the ground on what is going on. And we've also, as we said earlier, seen updates and information being disseminated by various quarters within the state and federal government. It has also sort of added to the confusion surrounding the second emergency situation because people are... It's a mix of we want to be able to tell you and here's what we think is happening. Mm-hmm. Or wait, maybe not.
Yeah, it's you know, like what housing and local government minister Zoraida Kamrudin said. You know, at first she said yes, it's linked to Sungai Kim-Kim. Then later, the MESTEC had to come out and say nope, it's not linked. As well as Zoraida having then come back again and say, well, sorry, my mistake, not linked at all.
Yeah, so we wanted to get a bit of analysis when it comes to the government's response, especially because this is a crisis, right? Mm. When people will want to know things. So we're joined now on the line by Evelyn Yap, who is a crisis communication lead counsel for Citroen One, a communication consultancy firm. Evelyn, thank you for speaking with us. So from your observations, has the government followed the procedures that are typically in place when an emergency of this nature strikes?
From the articles that we have been reading and following up on, we believe that they have been following. However, they have been following each individual SOP when it comes to incidences. As this is happening in a state level, all right, primarily the ultimate leader ought to be the state government. And then they will update the federal government. Federal government will have to come in into the picture to assist in any way they can because, say, for example, the army is under federal government. Anything is needed in terms of emergency responses is under the federal government. So they do have to request, if they find that the situation is severe, that they need federal government's help, then they will have to inform the federal government immediately and update them as to what the situation is and how severe the problem is. Nevertheless, from what I gather, the federal government ministers have also spoken. I'm not sure whether they actually have communicated with the state government to assess what is the real situation. And they have been quoted giving their own statements, which can be confusing to the public.
Right, and indeed, a few different people have made public statements. Just to name a few, there's Johor MP Dr. Sarudin Jamal, Minister of Housing and Local Government Zoraida Kamarudin, and Deputy Minister of Ministry of Education Tioni Ching. Is this to be expected, considering the case involves several different ministries and stakeholders?
Honestly, it ought to be centralized. Communication ought to be centralized, and they ought to immediately form a crisis management center at the state level, and they can invite the federal government ministers to be at the centre and to update the public as well as the media, rather than to do it silo, each and everyone gives their own opinions. And it doesn't seem to be a concerted effort when it comes to giving opinions and issuing out your own statement. It will look as though you are a little bit jumpy, panicky, because a lot of the media has been asking you questions and you want to issue out a statement as soon as possible. In times of crisis, sometimes you need to really stay calm to find out what's the severity level of the situation at hand. And the best person to know about that is really the state level. Usually, at the state level, all state governments would have their own emergency response team in all different type of crises, right? Maybe because the government is new, the people are new, so the SOP, they are not familiar with the crisis management SOP. But in essence, all state governments and all federal governments would have the SOP in place in any crisis.
So is there any responsibility when it comes to the state and federal government in terms of updating the public on what the latest developments are? And, you know, how can they do that in a timely manner?
Yeah, well, it really depends on the severity of the case. Say, for example, if it has gone into a level where it is beyond in order to resolve the situation, they do not have the necessary assets to resolve the situation where they require the federal government, then they have to request from the federal government assistance, right? But however, if the state government itself felt that the situation can be controlled by themselves at the end, right, then they ought to already update the public and the media every hour or 2 hours in this day and time. It's no longer those days where you update the public only like, you know, a day or 2 days later. You have to update them every 2 hours or at least, well, usually best if you can do it every hour, but you can't at least 2 to 3 hours.
What do you make of all the communication that has been made thus far? Are there key points of information that still need to be relayed?
I think first and foremost, the information that needs to get to the public is to really do a comparison. Now, the word itself, the Pasir Gudang, the location, immediately when you mention Pasir Gudang, then the public will immediately think of the incident at Sungai Kim Kim earlier in March. And the immediate response or assumption would be, is this another case or is it the same case, right? So the most important thing to identify now is whether the source coming from the same place, number one. Number two, if the source has the evidence that it did not come from the same place, then number two, where else are they looking at? You know, where else are they checking? Where else are they investigating? If I'm not mistaken, they mentioned they are also checking out 30 factories. And they have to share it with the media or the public. Where are these 30 factories located? How far away is the vicinity? Is there a map? Is there a plan? You know, they have to show the public, okay, this is the plan. We are checking out these factories. This is where it is happening. It is 7 kilometers from where it initially, from the first incident, 7 kilometers away. And these are the factories around this area that we are checking. So you have to give a visual understanding to the public as to what are their plans, how are they combing the area. And that is the action. So when people are told where are they combing the area, how are they investigating, at the same time, the Ministry of Health is doing all they can in terms of assisting those who are affected, and what are the action plans from the Ministry of Health or State Health Department to ensure that all those who are affected are being treated immediately so that that will calm the nerves of the parents. So you have to do two things in parallel. One is technical and one is logistics.
Evelyn, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Evelyn Yap, Crisis Communication Lead Counsel for Citroen One, a communication consultancy firm, weighing in on the way the government has been communicating throughout the situation that is recurring and occurring in Pasir Gudang. If you have any thoughts to share on what's going on, you can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have Lightning Hopkins with Coffee House Blues, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.